Let's turn in your copy of God's Word to John chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. That's going to be John chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. It reads, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you."
Final way that God has spoken. Have you received his message? Nothing's more important. Jesus is the ultimate high priest. Have you considered what he has done in his intercession as a high priest? Have you considered the awesomeness of his sacrifice? Have you responded according to the good message of the truth and become a child of God? Jesus is the ultimate prophet, the ultimate high priest. He is the ultimate king. Have you humbly bowed down in reverence to the one who has all authority and rule? Jesus is God and is worthy of our worship and praise. Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Have you humbly bowed to him in worship and praise? Jesus is our best friend. Jesus is our best friend. Have you considered that? You have no greater friend than Jesus. And have you cultivated your friendship with him? You are as close to Jesus as you have chosen to be. That ought to just be the dearest thought in all the world to you. Or if Jesus seems distant because you haven't chosen to cultivate the friendship with him, it ought to make you think. In our ladies' class and our men's class that have been going on in recent days, the last two classes, or at least the last couple of recent classes, have been on friendship. And at the end of one of those classes, a guest walked up to me and said, "I don't think I have ever heard a class or lesson on friendship, biblical friendship, in my life." It would seem to me that we are to declare anything that's profitable, Acts 20 and verse 20. It would seem to me that the whole counsel of God ought to be declared. Amen to that. Acts 20 and verse 27. And when you stop and think about it, few topics are dealt with as thoroughly in the Word of God as the topic of friendship and the fact that Jesus wants to be our friend. I have called you friends. John 15, verses 15 and 16. And in essence, we can say the Bible is a book about friendship. The fact that God wants to be our friend and that we can be with him forever. It's amazing to me that marriage, as we know it, will not exist in eternity. But you know what? Friendship will. Because those who are the friends of Jesus will all be together and we'll be able to have an ever-expanding friendship with one another. Wow, how amazing he is. And I want you to think about this with me. Because God does not play favorites. Jesus does not play favorites. He is not a respecter of persons, according to Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 36. He does not play favorites, but he has intimates. He has closer friends. The fact is, he wants to be close to you. He wants you to acknowledge that he really is your best friend. But we have the privilege of being able to cultivate our friendship with the Son of God. And I am absolutely convinced that most people do not give enough thought and consideration to that thing. Think about it this way. All of the endearing qualities that would make a person a genuine and great friend, Jesus has them. All the qualities that would make a person a genuine and great friend, Jesus has them, and he has them infinitely, and he has them perfectly. And Troy, he is lacking in none of the good things that would make a person a great friend, and he has every quality to perfection that we ought to be looking for in a human friend. I think the word friend has become one of the poorest words as far as usage in our vocabulary. We'll say something like this, Milton. He's just a friend. Just a friend. And the word friend has become capable of such a wide range of meaning that it basically has lost all meaning except for the term acquaintance. You know, you talk about your friends on Facebook or other social media. And maybe there's someone that you've seen, but you don't know them. Oh, what I want us to think about today is what a great friend Jesus is and how we can cultivate that relationship to a greater degree so that he would consider us an intimately close friend. Not an acquaintance. Not someone, yes, I know well, but they kind of put their walls up about me. Oh, when I think about that person, what it would be like to have Jesus say, he's one of my closest friends. Wouldn't it be great if that person's you? I think about Abraham in the Old Testament. Isaiah 41 and verse 8, for example. Abraham's called the friend of God. He's called that in the New Testament too. James 2 and verse 23. I think about Moses, who in Exodus 33 and verse 11 says God spoke to him face to face. God spoke to him face to face as one would speak with a friend. And when I read passages like that, and how that Jesus calls us friends, John 15, 15 and 16, I think about how marvelous it is to be a friend of Jesus. And I want to be a close friend. And I hope you do too. We're going to look at two truths this morning. Considering the greatness of our greatest friend. That's the first one. Considering the greatness of our greatest friend. And then, secondly, cultivating our relationship with our greatest friend. Everybody with me? Not hard to understand at all, is it, so far? Considering the greatness of our greatest friend. five qualities I want to focus in on. One for each finger. One for each digit. Jesus is our greatest friend because He gives the greatest affection. Affection. No one can genuinely and purely love quite like Jesus. God commends His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Isaiah 43 and verse 4 speaks of how God says, you are precious in my sight, honored, and I have loved you. He's speaking of Israel as a nation, but He could just as easily be speaking of individuals. That you are precious and honored, and I love you. Affection. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15, 13. But Jesus laid His life down for those who were weak and without strength and sinners and enemies. Romans 5 and verse 6 and verses 8 through 10 of Romans 5 as well. Considering the greatness of His friendship, the greatness of His love and affection. Second term, second word. You can use another finger. From affection, we go to consider the greatness of His enduring friendship. The greatness of His enduring friendship. You know, if you're talking about affection in a relationship, you'll say something like this. My heart set on getting to see this person. I've not seen them in a long, long time. I've missed them. I long to see them. When you talk about enduring relationships, some friends come into our lives for a reason. Some for a season. And some for a lifetime, don't they? Some come into our lives for a reason. It seems like just in God's good providence. Some come for a season. I think of high school friends that I had that I thought I would be close to for the rest of my life. And just as time's gone by, we've kind of drifted apart. But some people come into our lives and are friends for a lifetime. But listen. Jesus does more. Jesus can be our friend forever. He can be our friend eternally. The greatest of all is the greatest of all friends because of His affection and because of the long-lasting nature of the relationship. We say in a marriage, till death us do part. But from our best friend, we never have to depart. Enduring. Oh, how we should long for a friend like Jesus. And desire to cultivate a relationship with Him. To want to be one of His intimates. A close friend. Third, notice this. Not only is a friend affectionate, not only is there this enduring nature to friendship and its ups and downs and twists and turns that goes and goes and goes. Think about it. You and I, at some point in our lives, will fail Jesus, but Jesus will never, ever fail us. I will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. That brings me to a third matter. The third word is transparent. We look for people that we can be ourselves with, that we can be open and honest with. Transparency. Our lives are an open book in front of some people. I want you to think about this. There are some people that we let in that they know us, the good, the bad, the ugly. And we hope that they will be there for us in spite of the bad and the ugly. Don't we? We can be open and honest and transparent with each other. Think Jesus in John chapters 13 through 17. Wailing the cross is simply hours away in John 13 through 17. And what is Jesus talking about? He's talking about going home, and he's talking about making a home available for us. And when you look at John 17, when it comes to a conclusion in John 17 and verse 26, he's talking about that my people, that my friends might know the love that you, Father, have for me, and that that love might be in them. Even as it is in me. Talk about transparency. Scott, on the night he was betrayed, he is talking about God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and what's going to transpire, going to the cross, so that friends could be forever friends. Talk about honesty and transparency and openness. Fourth, the word is empathy. Friends empathize with one another. They care. And they are compassionate. Friends care. They show up. It says that Jesus was moved with compassion a number of times in the New Testament. Matthew 9:36, for example. Matthew 14 and verse 14. Moved with compassion. Stirred with compassion. He empathizes. Our high priest, our best friend, feels and hurts. He empathizes. Hebrews 2, verses 17 and 18. He can be touched with our feelings and our infirmities. Oh, he is a merciful and faithful high priest. You ever stop to think about Jesus weeping in John chapter 11? In John 11 verse 35, Lazarus is dead. His friend has died, and Jesus weeps. And you know why? I'm sure at least in part of it is due to the fact that he feels for Mary. He feels for Martha and all of those that are hurting. He empathizes with their pain. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to raise Lazarus. But I also want you to know, when you read John chapter 11, Jesus knows that that is going to be the feather. It's going to be the stone that breaks the camel's back, because when Lazarus rises from the dead, it says the religious leaders take counsel
to kill him.
Lazarus' resurrection would be the straw that broke the camel's back that led to the cross.
And Jesus goes to the cross so that it would be the straw that broke Satan's back for our salvation. Empathy. He cares. We were singing, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Fifth word, gracious. Gracious.
A close friend, our best friends in life, know exactly what to say and how to say it. Our best friends know what to say and how to say it. And sometimes when it's really a hard thing to say, the fact that you can say it well, you know how to say it, that matters. And I want to tell you, that's one of the ways I evaluate friends. A lot of people are willing to say things to you, but they may not give enough thought to how they say it. But a good friend knows what to say and how to say it. And a good friend, a best friend, knows what to do. They know what to say and how to say it, and they know what to do and what not to do. They just seem to instinctively know. The words of Jesus sometimes sting and wound us. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Proverbs 27, verse 6. A friend loves at all times. That's Jesus. Proverbs 17:17. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. That's Jesus. He has all the qualities we should ever want in a best friend, and he has them perfectly and infinitely. And we ought to look for friends who practice friendship similar ways to Jesus. Now let's talk a little bit about cultivating our friendship with Jesus. Cultivating our friendship with Jesus. How do I go about that? Oh, Mike, I am so thankful that Jesus is my friend. And maybe I've not thought enough about that, but I am so grateful for the hymns that we've been singing and for the truth you've been declaring from God's Word. He is my best friend. I know that. But how do I cultivate the relationship more? That is a great question. Let me suggest six ways to cultivate greater intimacy with our best friend. Six ways to cultivate greater intimacy with our best friend. Number one, consider it a privilege to wholly embrace. Consider it a privilege to wholly embrace that Jesus is our best friend. I can't help but think of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, and Jesus says, I'm going to be coming to your house today. You know, the whole idea given in the passage is that Zacchaeus is overjoyed that Jesus would come to his house, that Jesus would single him out among all the people there and say, let's be friends. A privilege. Hey, Adam, if Bill Self should call up and say, I'm in town, and I know you're a Kansas fan, and I realize it's not been the best year for us and things like that, but I want to come over, you are going to go, I cannot believe that he's on the phone right now. You're going to say to Julie, Julie, make some cookies. Start cooking. I'll help you with the house. But he wants to come over. He wants to come over. The coach of the Kansas Jayhawks wants to come over. Imagine that your favorite athlete wants to come by. Your favorite actor or actress. Imagine that the most powerful political figure in all of the world wants to come where you live. Mom, that figure wants to come with you and have food down in the cafeteria at Polo Park. You're hoping it's Friday and fish, aren't you? Imagine that. It's a privilege to wholly embrace the one upon whose shoulders rests the government of God wants to be your best friend. Isaiah 9:6. The one who is the wonderful counselor. Well, you can't go to anybody better for advice. He's the wonderful counselor. Wonderful counselor. Mighty God, the one who's the mighty God wants to be our best friend. Everlasting Father, he's the one who's timeless and eternal. He wants to be our best friend, Bill. The Prince of Peace in a world full of conflict and turmoil wants to be our best friend. A privilege to embrace wholly. Secondly, this is a relationship to experience. Second out of six ways to cultivate the relationship. Consider it a relationship to experience. I will never forget preaching from Revelation 3 and verse 20, from this very pulpit, and I did this. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." At which point our youngest grandchild starts to say quite loudly, and I noticed it, "Let him in! Let him in!" It's a relationship to experience. Are we going to leave Jesus standing at the door? The door of our hearts, the door of our lives, the door of this congregation. Where the one who bought and paid for the church can't even get in because we got the door shut. It's a relationship to experience because there is fellowship and there is walk and there is respect from us to him and there is love and appreciation. Let him in. He says, I will come in and we will dine together. Fellowship, meal, face to face, Mary, close, intimate friends.
Third, in examining ways we can cultivate our relationship with God, consider your friendship with Jesus. A covenant to keep. A covenant to keep. A commitment to prioritize. Consider your friendship with Jesus a commitment to prioritize. A covenant to keep. In 2 Corinthians, rather in John 15:14, Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." In a context on friendship, that's kind of puzzling in one way, but you got to think, we're dealing with several perspectives that are true, because Jesus, remember, is our prophet, our high priest, our king, our God, our best friend. And so what the passage is saying, you got to remember that your best friend is also the king. And humbly submit because he knows what is best for us. That's the idea in this.
The friendship between David and Jonathan was so amazing and so close that in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 4, Jonathan says this to David, "Whatever you want, I will do because of our covenant, our commitment to one another." Covenant to keep. Fourth, now 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 5. We need to look at this way to cultivate our friendship with Jesus, our best friend. It is comfort to receive. With Jesus, there will always be comfort that I can receive. He is the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 5. Sometimes even some of our closest friends don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. And sometimes the best thing to say and do is just to be quiet. Amen? Then we open our mouths and we don't help. But there is always comfort to be found with the God who always encourages. Who always comforts. How we need to think about that. And use that way as a way to cultivate a deeper, richer, more intimate friendship with Jesus. Some people are closer to Jesus. And some people are closer to Jesus because they want to be. And they have determined how close Jesus wants to be to them. And they want to be as close to Him as they can. Think about this. There are people who think pretty much, I am a rock, I am an island, and I don't really need friends. Listen. The more you say stuff like that, the less you're like Jesus. Because if anybody didn't need friends but wanted friends, it's Jesus. He wanted friends. So much so that He says, I choose you. And I choose you. And I choose you. There's something very, very humbling about that. Number five, a fifth way to cultivate friendship. Consider our friendship with Jesus as a power to draw from, a power to tap. Our friendship with Jesus is a power to tap. What do you mean by that, Mike? Happy to tell you. When we understand who our best friend is and that He is perfect and infinite in all qualities of a friend that could ever be desired, when we understand that, we don't look to people to be what Jesus should be. There are some of us that are experts at sucking the life out of friendships because we're so needy. I'm glad we need friends. But God does not want us to make an idol out of any friend. Because no friend is qualified to be our best friend like Jesus. Amen? Amen. We can encourage one another, seek to be there for one another, want to say the right things, do the right things, say the right thing in the right way. But ultimately, people must make the decision that I will emphasize, I will give priority, ultimate priority to my relationship with God, because only He can do what others can. And sometimes friendships get fractured and are broken because we expect too much of human people. You ever done that? Nobody can give you everything you need. A lot of people get into a marriage looking for that, don't they? Everything I need. That's an awfully high pedestal to put anybody up on.
Finally, think about that though. When we emphasize primarily our relationship with God, with Jesus, and being close to Him, being intimate with Him, our relationships will be healthier. Our expectations will be more realistic. And we'll be a lot more at peace. Number six. I love this one. If we want to cultivate a relationship that's deeper with our best friend, it's a message to share. Think about the young people. He's my best friend. Jesus is my best friend. I am not alone. I am not alone. That is a message to be shared. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verses 18 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. The Word of God says, we have this ministry of reconciliation. And while that's certainly true of the apostles and giving us the gospel to bring people to God, it is also true in another way of us as Christians. We have a ministry of reconciliation where we desire to share the news. There's enough of my best friend to go around. There's enough of him to go around to everybody. Wake the world and tell the people that there's one person that can really be everybody's best friend, and it's not me, and it's not you, and it's not any other person that breathes. It's Jesus Christ. He's qualified, and then some. How have you responded to his message? He's the ultimate and perfect prophet. How have you responded to his intercessory work, something he does on your behalf, going to the cross, offering himself? How have you responded to his work as priest and sacrifice? How have you responded to the fact that he's the king? Have you humbly bowed the knee and said, you are the one who has rule and authority, not me. You're the one who's in control, not me. You're the one that knows the end from the beginning, not me. And then, he's God. You're the one worthy of worship and praise. But I hope we'll never forget in the same sequence of titles for Jesus. Prophet, priest, king, and God. He's our friend. Have you thought about developing the depth of your friendship with the one who's already your best friend? We can come to Jesus by responding to his grace. Oh, friend is gracious. I want to ask you to respond to your best friend in trust and love and humility and obedience. That involves repentance. That involves baptism for forgiveness of sins. That involves being added to the church of the New Testament. That involves